out the market. So if you're living in Sacramento or if you're thinking about moving into this crazy Sacramento real estate market, we're going to talk a little bit about it. And guess what? Your favorite YouTube realtor just got himself into contract last Saturday. I'm going to show you how I did it. Welcome to Sacramento's number one YouTube channel for all real estate news regarding Sacramento and the surrounding areas. So if that's you, hit that subscribe button and that bell will bring you bi-weekly content. We also go live every Wednesday at 5:30. So tune in, let's get going, and let's talk a little Sacramento right now. All right, hopefully everyone's having an amazing, amazing Wednesday. The market's crazy. There's some things been happening, you know, with the whole like Ukraine, Russia thing. My buddies over at Newway were kind of thinking that it might have some impact on the rates, but it didn't, and rates were still going up. So it was kind of crazy how that happened. I think we were all a little dumbfounded as far as why it didn't do anything to it. In fact, myself, I got myself into contract on a beautiful house in Gold River on Saturday, and we were kind of waiting to see what would happen to the rates and all that kind of fun stuff, but it just didn't work out. So that was crazy. Tyler, all right. We're going to start it up right now. Let's go. Recently bought a new build in Folsom. What are your thoughts on solar PPA versus purchasing? I love purchasing. In fact, here's the thing, guys. Straight up. Just by myself, like I said, I'm in contract for a house in Gold River. And it needs some new flooring. But before I do the flooring, I'm buying a solar system for my house. As a realtor, what I'm finding more than anything else is that solar is it. In California, 2020, for the most part, any house, and I'm talking about any house being built, custom or whatever, you're going to need to get a solar system on that thing. It's going to become one of those things in California that, for the most part, it's going to be like, it's just going to be a huge selling. So I would say my own gut is solar is a huge thing, even though, and here's a big thing too, and we don't talk about it enough on this channel, is the fact that in Sacramento, it's interesting. Sacramento has SMUD, which is really, really cheap comparatively towards PG&E. Placer, some parts you still have SMUD. Some in Roseville, you got Roseville Electric, but for the most part, you have PG&E. El Dorado Hills, you got PG&E as well, as we all know, because of the rolling blackouts. Even though Sacramento does have SMUD, even though it's cheaper as far as electricity goes, I still am going to basically, within the first month or two that I got my house, I'm getting a solar system. Why? It just makes sense. I mean, in Sacramento, one of the things too you're going to find is that even if you don't have a pool, people are going to factor in like the idea of heaters, pools. And if you haven't spent a summer in Sacramento, you're going to know it's going to be super, super hot. So the AC, if you're like me and you need a kind of a nice temperature to kind of do your thing, you're going to need electricity running. And so I would say solar for 100%. Now, another thing too, Tyler, this is a huge one, is that I've actually had clients, because here's the thing, if you have a solar lease, they have to actually purchase the house and also transfer their name to the solar lease. For some reason or another, it has killed deals for me. Not recently, not as far as a year, but when people look at a house, they look at the system on the roof, they want it. They want to know that it's owned and it comes with the purchase price of the house. When it's leased, there's something about it that just doesn't work for a lot of the people that I'm working with. And so I would say for you, it might even factor in a little bit less on the lease, but you know, you don't own it. I would say the only benefit, or there's two actually benefits on the lease. Number one is if something happens to it, you have maintenance coming in to jump in to fix it. And number two for the lease is, and once the lease is over, if technology has advanced, you might put another system on or whatnot. But for me, I'm a own solar type of guy, and I've talked to a lot of realtors, a lot of new home people as well. And I will tell you straight up, if it's me, I'm buying the solar system straight up. Now, California is one of the states, or the only state, as far as I know, that has that solar idea as far as you need solar on your house if you're buying a new one. So understand that that's going to be commonplace. And I would just say own it. I think at the end of the day, it's a really big plus when you're selling a house as a realtor. When if someone says I've owned solar, I start smiling from ear to ear. So solar, I'd say if you can own it, I think it's a good way to go. All right, Kathleen, congrats on the new house. Thank you very much. I got you a solar guy. Let's chat. All right. Solar is big, like I said. All right. So I also want to talk currently about what's happening with our team. We just got one of our doctor client of ours. We got him into Sutter Park on Sunday. So big thanks to Keen over there at Black Pines, great community. And we just got him in contract over there. And then as of today, we actually got another doctor of ours into a contract in a house in Elk Grove. Now, it wasn't as easy as that. I'm not going to lie and just say, hey, oh, it's just easy. We throw it an offer. The truth is the house that he went into was a Zillow owned house. And because I have an amazing friend, Erica, who's a top producer for Big Block Realty, I called her up and I said, hey, look, what's the skinny on that house? And she basically gave me a little bit of like, hey, this is the person who's listed. This is what they're, all that kind of stuff. And it was really, really good. So I'd say if you guys are struggling a little bit in this market, understand that having a realtor that is networked pretty into the scene is really, really good. Because all it took me was like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to find out, okay, this is a listing agent. They work with this broker. I don't know the broker, but I know their top producer. And I called up Erica and boom, boom, boom. And now we're in contract. So I'd say right now, more than ever, everything that you can grab as far as giving you leverage in this market is great. The other thing too is understand a lot of people have this idea that if they go directly and work with a listing agent, they'll have a better chance of the house. Now you might. Full disclosure, you absolutely might. The only thing though is what you're going to notice is that in a neighborhood, you're going to see maybe 4 or 5 different realtors kind of work that area very, very hard. So if you go in with if you see a listing that you love, contact the listing agent and maybe it's, you know, you're good with it and you see something else pop up. It kind of, I mean, it just doesn't work for you because all of them are super competitive. So having a buyer's agent who really knows the area and knows all the listing agents could give you a little bit added of a bonus as far as getting offers submitted. For me, it worked fantastic. And like I said, I owe Erica a bottle of wine for that one because it really did hook my client up. They'd been looking for a while. Elk Grove, list price, and we're in contract. So that was pretty, pretty good. Ryan, my friend, buying solar versus renting it. The increased cost in mortgage will be much cheaper than buying the electricity from PG&E. Absolutely. Ryan, my friend, Ryan actually got himself a new home, Elliott Home, Turkey Creek, and he will be hosting a barbecue sooner than later for all of us who love that Lincoln environment. Super excited for you, my friend. Play a little golf, enjoy it. You definitely deserved it. Okay, TD, we just bought a house that came with solar, leased, still way cheaper than PG&E. Awesome news on getting into contract. Congrats. Thank you very, very much. Yeah, I mean, you know, PG&E is just crazy. Those prices are just absolutely nuts. So when someone says to me, like, you know, and like I said, you know, you buy a house, whether if it's a resale, you're always looking for things to do. Like I said, for us, we're going to go in there, do the floors, do the paint and all that kind of fun stuff. But solar is on the top of my agenda because like the idea, you know, we have a pool now and all this kind of stuff. So it's just having solar is definitely just the way to go. And for all you Bay Area folk who are coming into Sacramento, once you go through a summertime and you're thinking to yourself, hey, look, I got a couple fans on the ceilings, we'll be just fine. It's hot. It's really, really hot. So don't get into that situation for yourselves. Understand that getting solar on your either your resale or your new home. Well, new homes you have to no matter what, but solar is definitely the way to go. You could probably get yourself a nice solar system on your house. I love calling a solar system. Totally takes me back to my Star Trek days. Shh. Okay. You can get a solar system on your house between $17,000 and $21,000. And the savings is going to be there straight up. And then also on resale, it's definitely going to add to resale. If you notice too, one of the things I always tell people to do when they're listing their home is if you look on Zillow or you look wherever when things are getting listed, you're going to see things like corner lot, exercise backyard, pool, or solar. Solar's a big one. So solar's a huge selling point for a lot of people because they do realize that in Sacramento, you're going to be running your AC nonstop during the summertime. And if it's a newer home and it doesn't come with a whole house fan, it can be a real pain. So, you know, it is what it is. So I love solar, and that's going to be one of the things that that I'm throwing up straight up. All right, been here for a week and love it. Congrats on finding your new crib so quickly. Hey, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I found my crib. It was quickly, but it wasn't quickly. So I'll go into that a little bit longer. And like Ryan, man, here's the thing. As a realtor, you do a lot of transactions and you work with a lot of people. I'm going to tell you straight up, even as a realtor, I still get that giddy feeling. I still get that anxiety feeling. I still get all that stuff. So just because I'm a realtor and I, you know, I do this for a living and I work with a lot of transactions during the course of the year, it still is one of those things that still kind of, you know, it's still one of those things, you know, it's a big, big purchase. And even if you're in real estate, even if you see this happening a lot, it still can be, you have that kind of like weird kind of like anxiety, stress, happiness. So, you know, like I say, I have, you know, I love buying because it always makes me realize exactly what my clients are going through or, you know, selling to, and it gives me appreciation for them. It also, you know, reaffirms the idea that we're very patient with people on our team. We're very much like, you know, we're not in any rush. You're never going to get the wham, bam, you know, let's get you in a house, call today. Thank you very much. Goodbye. We're never like that. If you've ever worked with our team, we're all about like, look, be picky. If it takes you a bazillion trips up here, if you want to look for houses left and right, let's do it, right? Let's find you that house. It's going to make you go, you know, that's going to make you excited, right? It's going to be that present that you just want to unwrap, get into. And so, you know, being that way myself, it's easy to translate, but going through the process that I did or I'm doing right now, it's the same way. I realize the exact way our team works is the way every realtor should work. And so like I'm excited for myself, but I'm also excited for this whole concept that I can film more content in front of my pool, which will be fun. So that's it. All right. Welcome to Lincoln, Ryan. Yeah, Lincoln, man. You know, Ryan, I'll be honest with you guys too. Lincoln was definitely one of those spots that I was looking at and I was just looking, Lincoln. I mean, 12 Bridges, Lincoln, Turkey Creek area. I mean, I think Lincoln is such a good place right now as far as the homes out there, the newer builds, you know, all that stuff. I love the like the Turkey Creek area. I love the 12 Bridges area near Catavadera. I love Saratoga, the Taylor Morrison area. I love how it's developing because as a realtor, I know that like, because they're putting in so many new homes in that area, that it's only a matter of time before the shopping centers, before additional schools come in, before it starts really, really developing. Like Lincoln was supposed to be doing this a long time ago, like 2006, but with everything that happened, it slowed down. And now it's just, Lincoln is on fire. So for me, I love Lincoln. The only thing for me is that a majority of my family is in the Gold River kind of area. And, you know, my daughter's here and she's really tied with our family. And so this is kind of one of the things we were looking at. But Ryan, I will tell you this. I was looking at some of those Lincoln houses in 12 Bridges. I still think the bang for your buck in Lincoln, in places like Anatolia, in places like Cameron Park, I think they're just amazing. I think you could literally get something in Lincoln for $850, then in Folsom, you're paying maybe like 1.15. And I just think the Lincoln 12 Bridges area is good. I think Catavadera can go toe to toe with Granite Bay almost any day of the week. And so for me, I love that area. And I think it's one of those areas that if you buy there, you're going to be really, really happy with the way things are developing, growing. I just can't say it. I can't think of any real negatives in Lincoln. And like I said, I always like to buy where things are, you know, have a little bit of movement, you know what I mean? Things can grow. And I see Lincoln, 12 Bridges, Lincoln anywhere really, for the most part, being in the path to progress. And I love it. Just like what I tell people about investment properties, Natomas, I think that's a great spot to build in. West Sacramento as well, or buy in. West Sacramento is another area I like. West Roseville is going to be interesting. I like that area. I think the bang for your buck is really, really good. Once they start developing out better roads, I think it's going to be nice. Additional shopping and everything too. So I don't know, guys. The market is absolutely, absolutely like nuts right now, you know? So let's get into a little bit of it right now. While I got you here. Market is crazy. All right. So let's talk about a little bit of stuff. Okay. So right now, as far as listings on the market, one of the things that I did for the most part when I was looking for my house, it's something that's funny, but it's something a lot of people don't look at, right? Okay, so a lot of people, whether you like it or not, are into Zillow, right? I mean, Zillow is a great app. They have a better app than probably the MLS does, Realtor.com does, Redfin. Movado is pretty good, though. I will tell you, Movado is great because you don't get a zillion realtors like me calling you. But what you're going to notice right now is that if you see a listing pop on the market, let's say a listing pops on today, right? And all of a sudden, within 2 or 3 days, it goes pending, Okay, it goes pending. Then maybe in about 2 weeks later, all of a sudden it goes back on the market, right? You're not going to see it at the top of the searches. It's going to be listed by the date that it was listed. So what I did and what helped me out specifically was I was looking at the stuff that went back on the market. There's been a lot of cancellations. I even talked to my TC. By the way, shout out to Mercedes, my TC, who's the best TC in all the Sacramento metro area. But she was telling me straight up, she's like, yeah, you know, like I've seen so many cancellations happen. People are freaking out about the interest rates going up, or people, you know, just made the rush to jump in and grab something, that there's been a lot of cancellation of contracts and a lot of things have been coming on the market, back on the market. So for me, the first thing I would do every single morning was I'd grab a cup of coffee and I'd go on the MLS, and the first tab I would hit, previously it was the new listings, but it would be the back on the markets. And I was seeing some of these houses that were back on the market and they weren't getting a lot of attention because, you know, once they're back on the market, if like they were first listed maybe 3 weeks ago and all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks into the whole like transaction, everything was there, boom, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden it fell out. So they've been on the market, you know, 2 weeks later, it pops, you know, back on the market. Zillow's not going to list it as like a new listing. It's going to list it. It's going to just, you're going to have to scroll a few pages to see what's back on the market. So one of my big tips to anyone out there right now who's looking for a house, looking for something to buy, is talk to the realtor you're working with and have them send you a list of specific homes that are back on the market or homes that are on hold. I'm seeing that more than ever right now. Things are popping on the market and they're not getting a lot of activity. Now, another trick also for the houses that are actually back on the market. Okay. Because of the way the market is working right now, you're seeing a lot of people who need to sell their house to, you know, basically get the money to move into their next house. So when a transaction, let's say, goes 2 weeks and all of a sudden, you know, it falls out, what you're going to end up seeing is that there's a little bit more of urgency for that agent to put someone else in contract. You don't have to wait till the weekend for open houses or whatnot, because the seller is saying, oh man, I just went into contract in like Austin on a house. I need the money for the sale of this house to happen in like 3 weeks, or else I'm going to lose my deposit on that house and I need to make it happen. So if you see a lot of these back on the market listings pop up and you can jump in there really, really quick, talk to the agent and say, look, we can do a 21-day close, boom, 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 you can make it happen. The big trick though is like you can't really find them, but they're not showing up in like your new listings. They're basically showing up as in like, you know, three pages down in the searches, and you're never going to know they exist unless you dig in deep or you talk to a realtor and say, look, I get you're sending me all the new listings. I get I'm on the stream. You're sending me all that stuff, but can you also send me anything that comes back on the market? Those are going to be the ones that are going to be the low-hanging fruit in this market. So I would say talk to your realtor and get that done. That's what we do for some of our clients and it tends to work out really, really well. All right. Juweth lets you get an official YouTube studio in there. Absolutely. It's actually my daughter. It's actually kind of funny. I saw this nice, we have this nice office space in our new home, you know, and it has the double doors and everything too. And my daughter went right into the double doors and was like, Dad, that's my spot. And I was like, ugh. So it's her spot. But I did get a room that I'm going to build out nicely, some nice lights and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be really cool. I'm also going to be doing some sets. I'm going to be interviewing people in Sacramento also, maybe home inspectors, maybe people in Sacramento, some, you know, I guess you can call them movers and shakers or whatever. But for the most part, people in Sacramento, I also want to interview some of you subscribers, the people who watch the channels, the people who interact with me. You know, I'd love to cook you some dinner, buy some food, way better of a thing for you guys. And then we can talk a little bit about how Sacramento has been for you, right? The idea is that for me, I've lived here for a while, but for you guys moving in, like someone like Ryan, all my regulars kind of tuning in and all that stuff, I'd love to have a little interview time with you guys and talk to you a little bit about what's it been like moving to Sacramento, you know, the Sacramento area, whether it's Lincoln, Roseville, Rockland, or whatever. I think for the most part, a lot of people who are thinking about making the move to Sacramento would love to hear your stories, hear about exactly like what is like for you, you know, like my buddy Sabo, who's crushing it right now on YouTube with all these amazing, cool videos. So for me, I got an open invitation for you guys, you know, like a couple mics, camera, maybe outside, and we'll talk a little bit about how the move went, what you would have done different, what areas you liked, what areas you didn't like, how's your house that you got, all that kind of fun stuff. So those are the things I want to do in the new space that I got as well. So tune in. Open invitation. Anyone who really wants to jump in, I'd definitely love to have you on, interview you a little bit and talk to you a little bit about the move. Because the thing about this channel is, straight up, I want this to be a channel where you have people that are like thinking about moving to Sacramento and they're seeing some of these videos where they're like, Sacramento, this Sacramento. I want to get a lot of content from people that have actually made the move up here within the last year or two and what they think. Do they miss the Bay Area? Are they excited? What kind of house do they get? Like, how are the people here? How is the food here and all this kind of stuff? Because here's the thing, you know, I don't really, like, as much as I was originally from the Bay Area, I've got my Sacramento eyes on, right? I got my rose-colored glasses. But I'd love to get the real opinion from some people who are just talking about how their move went, what's going on, everything too. So it says, Colby. Colby also, I'm going to be working with Colby at his studio in Carmichael. Colby is by far the best video photographer in all of the Sacramento metro area. He's actually one of the big reasons why my channel has done what it's done. So Colby is going to, we're going to be starting to do podcasts, really, really nice podcasts as a studio. And so tune in for that as well. The content that we're going to be producing and everything too is just going to be next level. And if you are someone who maybe has thought about a podcast, maybe a video or whatever like this, he's got the most amazing setup at his office. So reach out to him, or if you want to, reach out to me and I'll give you his number. Awesome guy. One of my good, good friends. And I'm super excited for him in 2022 to grow his business to a whole new level. And, you know, he's a really good person. And like I said, if you've seen some of my early videos, those home tours, you know, the stuff that was like, you know, in the Bentley or in the Rolls Royce or whatever, those are basically shot by Colby, and he's awesome. So, you know, I can't say nice enough stuff about him. He's awesome. So, okay. So now let's look a little bit about in Sacramento. What are we looking about as far as active listings? 883. Now, a lot of people are probably wondering, well, is that good? Is that bad? That's pretty low. Now, here's the thing about Sacramento in general is that we're trying to get our inventory back before spring rush. Now, spring rush is kind of a combination of a lot of things, okay? Spring rush, number one, is it's all the people who have actually filed their taxes early, maybe self-employed or whatnot, but basically they filed early, they did a good amount of business in 2021, and they're ready, really amped up to jump into the market. As of February, a lot of people file their taxes, and you're seeing a big surge of people who are coming in with nice cash surpluses jumping into the market. We're talking about 30, 40, 50, even like 70, 80% down. So we're seeing a lot of those people hit the price points of maybe a million and above right now. And I'm seeing buyers of mine looking Serrano, Morgan Creek, we're talking like Grant Bay and everything too. So those are the ones right now that are there, the starting point of spring rush. The other ones are also people from specifically like areas like the Bay Area who are saying to themselves, you know what, we're going to move to Sacramento, but we do realize that we need to register in schools. We need to kind of get everything in place so that once school lets out, wherever we're at, we can jump into a house. We have the summer to acclimate. We can register the kids in the school for fall and we're good to go. So we're going to see a lot of those people come into the market. Now, some of people might think that the whole Bay Area jumping in is over. It's not. A lot of companies I've been seeing have actually started and have kind of continued with their stay-at-home policy. You don't have to work. So my opinion on that is going to be we're going to see more Bay Area influx, people coming into this area. Sacramento is a perfect type of area for a lot of people as well. The price point, I mean, in Sacramento, for the most part, like if you live in Sacramento and you see the price increase, it's nuts. Okay. To see a house go from $450 to $650 or almost $7, it's crazy if you live in Sacramento and you're seeing that and you live in this area. But if you live somewhere like San Jose and you have a house that maybe like a year and a half ago was worth 1.4 and now it's worth 1.65. And all of a sudden you look at areas like Serrano, Rockland, we'll be hitting that dash. those are the areas right now that a lot of people are seeing. And from the Bay Area, with Bay Area eyes, those are places that are really, really doable. And a lot of people from the Bay Area who have maybe an 1,800 square foot house, no pool, really, really nice, are looking at these places in Serrano that are like 4,000 square feet, pool, backyard, all that stuff. And they're jumping in. Now, the beautiful part about Sacramento is we do have a lot of luxury areas. And we'll pop this up on this one. Rockland or Serrano. Truth is, they're both amazing, but we have other areas that are awesome too. We got Cata Vedera, which is just drop dead gorgeous. We have like Granite Bay. We have Morgan Creek, and we have Empire Ranch up in Folsom. We have like Briggs Ranch. I mean, so we have these really, really nice, high-end, affluent communities. And we haven't even touched the East Sacramento or Land Park area, which are just some of the most amazing houses in the world. I mean, like, if you have never been here for the holiday season and you haven't seen the houses in the fabulous 40s in Sacramento and East Sacramento, woof, you've missed a lot. Those houses are unbelievable. Space, everything too. All right, Dash, let's hit your question. Rockland or Serrano? Okay. A lot of people, like, first of all, here's one of the big things. Rockland is on the 80, Serrano is on the 50. So if you're someone who needs to kind of, you know, be close to Roseville or be close to that kind of shopping, I wouldn't really advise moving somewhere where you have to switch from like the 50 to the 80. I do that as a realtor, and like sometimes I'll show people like Rockland, then we'll go over to Folsom. Between Rockland and Folsom, we're talking about maybe like 45-minute drive, and it's really not fun. So what I would say is, like, you know, first of all, if you're thinking of Rockland or versus Serrano, first of all, figure out where you work, where you want to be near, right? If you're in Rockland, understand that you're near Roseville, which has a lot of shopping. It has like Restoration Hardware, the Fountains, Galleria, all that kind of stuff. Now, if you're on the other side, like Serrano still has limited shopping, but that's changing, right? There's going to be more stuff popping up in Serrano, but well, your main shopping is going to be Folsom. Folsom has the Palladio, which is nice. You got movie theaters, you have Blue Nami Sushi, and you got nice food. So that's one thing. First of all, you have to pick your team, right? Are you team 80 or team 50? And that's a big, huge, huge, huge thing. Like, I worked with a lot of people who had said they, you know, I work in Rockland or work in Roseville, but I really love Serrano. And if you do that commute between Serrano and somewhere like a Roseville or a Rockland, you don't want to do that to yourself, especially during, if you have to go during rush hours, that's brutal. So I'd say that's number one. Okay. So now let's think Serrano. Now, you can't really compare Serrano to Rockland. Serrano is kind of like, probably in my opinion, one of the most highest price per square footage places in all of El Dorado Hills. So I'd say, like, if you're talking Serrano, you're probably going to compare it. I wouldn't even say Whitney Ranch. I'd say Whitney Oaks. Whitney Oaks is like golf course community. It was where the first Toll Brothers Oak Crest was built out too. So you'd probably have to say, if you're going to go, you know, like Tyson versus Holyfield, I know that kind of dates me, but you'd go Serrano versus Whitney Oaks. So those would be the two power punchers right there. Now, they're both amazing areas, right? I would say the price per square footage in Serrano and the houses they're building in Serrano right now are just epic. I think that there's going to be maybe about 80 custom homes in the Serrano area. And I think the lowest price per square price for a home there is going to be something like 2.8 for the custom homes. So I would say right now Serrano's on a roll because it has all these areas. It has all this space to build. Whereas like your Whitney Oaks, they don't have too many lots to build right now. And so when you don't have lots to build, you don't have a lot of custom home inventory to move in, all of a sudden what you're going to notice is that an area like Serrano that has a lot of custom homes that are going to be built there, the price per square footage in Serrano is going to skyrocket, right? Because here's the thing. If you put in 60 to 70 custom homes in Serrano, let's say the cheapest one is maybe $2.6 million, that just means that the price per square footage in Serrano in general is going to increase. Serrano is going to be one of those areas that if someone says Serrano, they're going to be like, wow, okay, that's just, you know, $3 million house. Even if you can get a house in Serrano for $1 million, $1.1 million. I mean, and it's possible. Now, I will tell you one thing, though. I did notice this one house that I thought was pretty, pretty amazing. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. Hopefully, I don't get... All right, let me see. Now, this is a house that... So, if you guys are actually looking, for a house. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This house right here. Okay. Now, this is going to be my pick of the day as far as like, as far as in Serrano. Now, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Hold on. This is a gorgeous house. Okay. All right. This house right here. Okay. Now, a lot of people are going to say that awning is retractable. The photos are horrible. Okay. This is located at the very, very tippy top of Serrano. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, over 3,000 square foot home. Okay. It's got a pool. It's under $1 million. It's in Serrano. And it is absolutely spectacular. Now, this is an interesting thing about this house specifically. It's a for sale by owner. So a lot of people don't even know about this house. This is about $1 million. In my opinion, I think if it was listed on the MLS, you'd probably be able to get this thing for, if it was on the MLS, they would sell it probably for about 1.2. But because it's not on the MLS and they're doing for sale of owners and they don't put even one photo of the pool, it's a great deal. So this house itself, like, I mean, honestly, if you guys are looking for something in Serrano and you're getting beat out, this house is awesome. It has a pool, which they don't show in the photos, but this house specifically, I was actually looking at, because I thought it was a great deal. Like, you know, it's, oh, and the beautiful part about this too is the owners of it are two retired school teachers that took amazing, impeccable, like, treatment of this house. This house is awesome. This is one of those houses where I walked in and they were like, take your shoes off, please. They showed me the house. It was awesome. The backyard was well-maintained, beautiful pool, completely private. You know, there wasn't anything. This is like pride of, you know, home ownership to a whole new level. And so, like I said, like, you have to have someone who's kind of thinking outside of the box, and you have to yourself as someone looking, you have to look outside of the box. But this house in Serrano, and I know, Dash, we'll go back to the Rockland Serrano thing, but at the same time, if you guys are looking in Serrano, I'm going to tell you, this house is a steal of a deal. And if you're looking, here's the address too. All right. And it's a for sale by owner. And it's really, really awesome. So I'd say if you guys were looking in the Serrano area, this one caught my eye. And if my house actually that I got in contract at Gold River did not happen, this Serrano house is the one I would have jumped into. They said they were going to review towards the end of the month and that they wanted some sort of rent back. But at the same time, if you guys are looking Serrano and you're looking for something that's just awesome, over 3,000 square feet with a pool at the very tippy top of Serrano, this is the house to hit. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. So for me, guys, if you guys are looking for something in Serrano, this is the one. All right, let's go back. Okay, so one of the things that I did as far as being able to grab my house is the fact that I was able to do a good CMA on the house in Gold River that I got in contract for. I knew the fact that I worked with my buddies at New Way Mortgage, Aaron and Jen, and, you know, we did a good, because I was going to put, I'm putting 30% down on the house. And so we were able to see as far as appraisal waivers, what houses would work for appraisal waivers and what houses wouldn't. So the house that I wanted had an appraisal waiver $30,000 over what I actually put the offer in at. So I knew it was a good deal already, and I knew what I was willing to go to get the house because I knew where the appraised value was going to lie. So then I just talked to the agent over and over and over and over. I talked to the agent probably starting on Friday morning all the way till Saturday morning when we got into contract, over and over and over. Now, my offer was clean. It was completely simple. It was beautiful because they didn't need a rent back or anything. So my offer is straight up. 14-day close because I was able to do an appraisal waiver with my buddies at New Way Mortgage. So that means in like 7 days, I'll be closing on the house. 14-day close, no loan, no appraisal, and a 5-day inspection because my inspectors can inspect a house within like 2 or 3 days of going in the contract. And so with that in place and me basically talking to the agent and talking to them a little bit and saying, hey, look, I saw some of the issues with the house. I saw the fence wasn't perfect. I saw that this was happening. I already saw that. So understand that, like, as the buyer, I know that these are issues. So don't worry. I can deal with those things on my own, but let's make the deal happen. With that, good communication and, you know, just having a real heart-to-heart with the agent, I was able to. Now, I'd say, like, when we were talking on Monday about what it what basically you need to do to kind of get yourself in the contract, you have to trust your realtor and you have to really go for what you really, really love. I would say if this house was like maybe a 7 or 8 for me, I don't think I would have gone as strong for this house as I did. But it was a 9 or 10. I saw straight up that the prices were basically going up and up and up in this market. And for me at the end of the day, I told myself, look, I think in my mind, I was like, I think interest rates are going to continue to rise. And I think inventory is continuing to be low. And I do think that spring rush, it's going to eat up a lot of the inventory. And then when summer's here, I think it's going to be absolutely crazy. And I do still think that we have a little bit of room as far as houses going up and appreciation happening, which we've actually seen within the last couple of weeks. So that's kind of why I jumped in myself. For everyone, I think it's a nerve-wracking experience. And I think buying a home straight up, even myself being a realtor, it's still one of those things that still kind of freaks you out. You're wondering if you made the right decision or whatnot. But I will tell you one thing. When I did go for this house, I didn't have any question that I wanted or I didn't want it. I knew I wanted it. I knew what the house was worth. I knew what I was willing to do to get that house. The line I drew straight in the sand, and I made it a very, very simple, simple contract for the realtor. And I made sure that she knew that I wanted this house, that it was a house I wanted. Now, the funniest part is you'll see a lot of people in this market think that they could play games with listing agents. This is not that market. It's not the market of poker faces. It's not the market of, oh, just offer them that and see what they do. The listing agents and the sellers in this market have all of the power. So understand this, like if you see a house, you might get lucky. It might not have any offers in on it. But for the most part, because we're running on such low inventory right now, that the chance of that happening just isn't really, you know, it's just not really rational to think that way. I mean, if you look at this, this is inventory of the last, what was this? This is since February. And this is basically our inventory right now in Sacramento. So as you can kind of see, it's getting worse. So for a lot of people out there who are thinking about buying or thinking that the market's going to get better, inventory is going to, you know, come back and all of a sudden this, I can tell you right now, one, new home builders used to put together and used to be able to build out a home in about 6 months. I've seen builders who even could build a home in 5 months. Now, when I go with clients, like I did at Richmond American, they're saying 12 months. So right there, that is a big warning sign for me, for a lot of people who are maybe looking for a new home or just looking for a home in general. When you have these new home builders that are like delaying their build cycles, that's not going to be where we're going to see our inventory coming in. And as far as the resale market, I'm going to be honest with you guys as well on this one, is the fact that so many realtors were hanging those carrots in front of people looking to sell their homes, and interest rates were so low that a lot of people were like jumping like crazy earlier in 2021. I mean, think about it this way, okay? You have someone who's sitting in their home and they realize their home is absolutely like just blown up, right? That they could get right now $2,000, $200,000 more for their house. And on top of that, interest rates are super low. So they could refinance, get a little cash out, and then jump into the upgrade market, right? Which is what we were seeing in 2021. Well, right now, if you're seeing someone who's paying maybe, who maybe refinanced last year on their home, right? They refinance and they're at a 2.7. All of a sudden they see interest rates right now at like what? A 4.1, 4.2. They're getting these realtors calling them saying, hey, we can still get you top dollar for your house. And they're thinking to themselves, yeah, you can get me top dollar for my house. I'm going to be able to maybe pull out 400. I'm going to go into the market and buy a $700,000 home. And I'm going to right now be able to finance the rest of my new home at 4.2. So that's what you're seeing right now. So for a lot of the people out there who are wondering, like, why aren't, you know, are we going to see more resale inventory? Well, the rates aren't really as great as they were last year. So you're not going to pull out a lot of people from underneath the stones coming out to sell their house as much as you would expect. I mean, because, you know, think about that. Like what I just said, you right now they sell, they cash out on their house. They still have to jump into a market and they're looking at a 4.1 or 4.2 interest rate. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I don't see us having a lot of inventory in the resale market. I don't see us having a lot of inventory in the new home space as well. Now, a lot of people are wondering, well, okay, that you know, that's fine. But what we're probably going to be seeing is that the inventory that's out there, we're going to see a lot of, you know, less of buyer demand. Now, here's the thing. Traditionally, in any single real estate market, what you're noticing is that buyer demand during, well, okay, let me rephrase that. During spring and during summer is when buyer demand is at its peak. So for a lot of people who are out there thinking to themselves, yeah, you know, buyer demand is going to wane. I mean, like, we're talking about spring and summer right now. We're talking about the hottest month, the hottest seasons of the year that are just beginning to start. So for all the people out there who are thinking maybe new inventory will pop up, let's say new inventory does pop up and all of a sudden we have all the people who've been biding their time and now are out in spring, now are out in summer. I mean, I'm kind of scared about what that's going to mean to our inventory eventually, if we're ever going to be able to catch up. Like I said, and I took a question on Monday about catching up to the market. In my opinion, we're already pretty much closing in on March. I don't see March where we're going to get a whole lot of inventory back. I see spring and summer where the inventory we have out there is going to get eaten like crazy. Even though the interest rates are going up, I still think for a lot of the Bay Area buyers looking to move in Sacramento, I don't think that even phases them, to be honest with you. I don't think that's going to stop them, because the difference between a house price in San Francisco and Sacramento is so, you know, you can get anything you want in Sacramento if you sell your like $2 million 1400 square foot townhouse in the Bay Area. So you're like, well, you know, we cash out and then we just jump into this market. It's a good market to jump into for like people from who are moving from the Bay Area. It's not an intimidating market. Now, for people in Sacramento who are thinking about maybe selling their home in Sacramento and moving to another home in Sacramento, it's just not a good market for those buyers. But I do think we're going to see still a lot of Bay Area buyers jumping in, because it does make sense. And for a lot of those people who are saying, no, you know what? The Bay Area buyers have stopped coming out here. Well, okay, now let's think about this real quick, right? Let's think about the idea that you're in the Bay Area. You just saw low interest rates happening, right? And now you're back up to 4.142. I mean, we're talking, that's for the nation. So now for a person in the Bay Area who might have been able to afford buying a house in the Bay Area with a 2.3, 2.4 interest rates, now you're at 4.142. Even if you wanted to buy in the Bay Area, you really can't do it anymore. And so where are you moving? Probably somewhere like a Sacramento. So I see some good stuff happening. All right, Nicholas, how you doing, my friend? Mark, are you noticing duplexes, Beach Price Hastley, or realtors listing at a lower price, expecting 1,000? Oh, I would say this is a good one, okay? Look at the realtor's number. If you're seeing a high number and they're new, chances are they're probably pricing a little high. A lot of sellers, what I've been noticing with newer listing agents, what they'll do is they'll put a little more pressure, and the listing agents will be too scared to actually list low, which in this market they should be doing. I would say, Nicholas, in this market, straight up, if you can actually do a good CMA, find out what things are trading for, price per square foot, go into the duplexes and see what they're actually like, you can probably get a good assessment. But my rule of thumb on that one is, if you look at an agent who's very much been doing a lot of business in an area, they've been doing this for a while, they're going to price low. Everybody in this market, duplex, single family, commercial, whatever, if there's a listing agent that's been doing this for a while and they're moving a lot of inventory, they're pricing low. Because as anyone knows in this market specifically, pricing low is the trick. And if you've been doing this a while, you can kind of talk to your sellers and you're going to have the confidence to price low. A lot of people don't realize this, but like, pricing low, you do have to have that confidence. And a lot of people who are first getting into this business don't really have that confidence. They feel like, oh, you know what? We're going to list where the seller wants me to list, and that's where we're going to stay. And in this market specifically, it doesn't work as well. You know, in this market, it's all about pricing low and going high. I've seen houses and duplexes even in Sacramento that have been like listed like $100,000 less than like, you know, what Zillow and Redfin are saying they're worth. And they go for like $150,000 to $200,000 over because people get into the whole bidding frenzy. So I would say, find out who the listing agent is, seeing what inventory they move, then doing a nice little CMA, have a little range of price per square footage, go into the duplex, see what kind of shape it's in. And that should give you a little bit of an assessment on it. That'd be my own gut. All right. Yeah. All right. Also, thoughts on West Tahoe Park. Thank you. Oh yeah, I like West Tahoe Park. I think it's a great area to move into. I like Oak Park too. Some people don't. I think it's a great area. I think honestly, I love the Oak Park area, and I might get like slammed for that, but I think Oak Park is completely in the path of progress. I think the price point there and the location, close to like East Sacramento, Midtown, Downtown, I think it's a place that if you buy, you know, in the years to come, it's going to be a little money pot. So I think Oak Park is good. I think Tahoe Park, like I think Tahoe Park is good, but the only thing about West Tahoe Park is that it's getting to be that area where you're not going to see it explode like it did before. Like West Tahoe Park, I think maybe about a year, 2 years ago, it was like one of those areas that people weren't sure about. Like they're like, ah, I'm not really sure. Oak Park's right there, this and that. I think West Tahoe Park right now is, I don't want to say they're at a premium right now, but I think they're getting there. I think Tahoe Park, for all the people who maybe work at UC Davis Medical Center, I think that that's a hot spot to buy. I think it, like, for me, Tahoe Park, West Tahoe Park also is like that area where if you're like maybe two nurses, two doctors, you're working at UC Davis Medical Center, you're starting off, maybe you don't have kids just yet, you buy a nice little cute home in Tahoe Park, and then after you that house kind of, you know, you do little fixes here and there and you enjoy it a little bit, you move over to like maybe like Land Park or Sacramento. So I think Tahoe Park is good. I think it's pricey though. I think, you know, I think West Tahoe Park, like West Tahoe Park, in my opinion, is kind of like Southland Park. You know, you also have to be very smart about where you're buying because, you know, West Tahoe Park, there's no HOA, so you can't really control your neighbors. Southland Park is the same way. I've seen some streets be amazing in Southland Park, and I've seen some streets be, you know, street by street by street. So I would just say, look at the neighbors, look at how things have been trading in West Tahoe Park on the streets that you're looking at. But I do like that area. I like Hollywood Park too. And like I said, for me, I think if you're looking to really buy some houses that in the future could really make a lot of investment sense, I think Oak Park is great. In fact, I wanted to have this one realtor who focuses in Oak Park. Her name is Melissa, Mega Bliss Realty. And she's really a nice lady too, on this, because she actually knows a lot about the Oak Park area as well. And she loves that area too. But she has not taking me on my invitation. And like I said, in the future, I'll be bringing on other realtors that have ideas about this market and everything too. A lot of the realtors, you know, that I work with live in various areas, like, you know, your Oak Parks, your Serranos, your Rocklands, and they're such a great resource to like what blocks and what streets work. For me, if someone's like looking in Serrano, I got my buddy Jen at New Way Mortgage who knows every single block in Serrano, and she knows the price per square footage too. So I think that that's pretty important too. But in West Tahoe Park, I think, yeah, I like that area. But again, it can be pricey, so just be careful. Mm. All right, where are we at right now on time? We are 47 minutes. All right. Ooh, all right. The goal is to live in a unit. Duplex is my primary for one flow. Sack view. Never this weekend. Yeah, I think, I mean, okay, here's the thing. I like that. Now, I was actually just talking to a friend of mine, Michael Mayo, who's on my team as well, and he was actually thinking about what to do. Now, okay, I like this area. I like the Tahoe Park area is nice. Now, another thing that I'll tell you that I've been seeing a lot of people do as well, the Rosemont area, College Glen, along La Riviera. Now, here's a trick. A lot of people like those houses. You can get like a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, dated. I mean, literally, it's like the Brady Bunch just walked out of it. Nice backyards. But the thing I love about this area specifically is that if you wanted to, you could just grab the master yourself and rent out the bedrooms to like people at the college if you wanted to, and they could end up paying your mortgage and you live rent free. I've seen, we had one investor named Justin and he did that exact same thing. He was actually, in a fraternity in Sacramento State, and his girlfriend was in a sorority. And what they ended up doing was he ended up putting up flyers in his fraternity and sorority, and he filled up the place. And he's living in the master, and all the bedrooms are paying off his rent. Now, that is one way to do it in that area because Sacramento State is such a monster in that area for rentals. The other way to do it is think of it this way. If you look in that area, you could probably find duplexes, which I do think are a smoking great deal. If you can find them in the Rosemont College Glen area because they're Sac State. But the other thing too is I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to rent to college kids and everything too. But the truth of the matter is you really don't have to, okay? Why? Well, because the college students eat up all the rentals in the area, and you have some big government buildings in that area as well. So the rentals that are remaining in that area go for a premium. So that, I think, is a great, great, great area as well. The other place too is Natomas. Honestly, I think Natomas is a fantastic place. I know I keep saying it, but here's me driving around with basically one of the head doctors that they actually brought in to run that medical school. And he's telling me about what's going to happen in the medical school, what they're doing and everything too. And I'm sitting there listening to him say this and thinking to myself, like, what I've been saying about Natomas is so on point. You know, like, and the crazy part about this medical school is that Elk Grove actually passed on this medical school. The medical school that now Arco Arena torn down is going to be put up, but this medical school was slated for Elk Grove, and now all of a sudden it's in Natomas. But I think also for someone who is looking to for investment properties, I do think Natomas is a great spot. North Natomas, you're close to the airport, close to downtown. You know, you got to deal with flood insurance, absolutely. But once that medical school is built, considering you'll probably be getting like half your rental applications from doctors and nurses, that ain't bad at all. So I like that area too. So Nicholas, that's what I would say. I'd say come up, check out the area. I would say check out Hollywood Park as well. Oak Park, Tahoe Park. I'd say the College Glen area is awesome. And I would probably say check out North Natomas as well. Those are the areas that I would say are pretty, pretty nice as far as investments, finding a duplex and everything too. So if you need help, I'm around. All right. You know what I missed? Mark, fine. Yes, I got my house. Gold River. I got myself a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a huge loft upstairs for YouTube studio, pool, spa, the whole nine yards in Gold River. Appraised at based on the appraisal waiver, it was appraised at 930. And so I got it less than that. I'm not going to tell you how much, but it was good. So I'm excited. We're going to be putting in solar, new floors for right now. And like I said, in the future, I want to interview some of you guys who moved into the area, maybe some of the people I worked with, some of the people who like Sacramento. And I'd like to kind of get you guys on an interview platform where you guys can kind of express how the move has been for you, how you like Sacramento and all that kind of fun stuff. So it should be fun. Oh, my boy, Laptop Sniffer. Okay. We've got to talk too, because I know you're dying to jump into this investment arena in Sacramento. I got some good spots for you. And if you make the time, I got the time, and we'll go take a look at some investment properties as well in Sacramento. I'm always up. Anyone who's watching this will always know that number one is, if you call my number, I will answer it, or Kathleen will answer it. And our team is always up to help people, investment, buying, selling, you name it, in this area. We love to do it. We love what we do. This is why I'm live 2 days a week. And going strong, hour plus, 2 days a week. I know. Trust me, it's nuts. I have a place in Natomas, best investments I've ever made. See, Natomas. I got to tell you, man, Natomas is that spot. I've never heard of anyone moving to Natomas, especially now too, with the prices going crazy and the medical school being built. I like Natomas, you know, I'm there. So it is what it is. All right. Yep, no duplexes on the market. Okay, so check this out though. Look in the Rosemont area, look in the College Glen area, Sacramento. We can help you with those zip codes as well. Those are nice, nice areas. I also have a friend, realtor. He's on my team, Michael Mayo, and he specializes in the Midtown area too. So we'll take care of you. When you're getting ready to come up here, just let me know. All right, Felix. Hey, Mark, thank you. Straight up. Moving into a new construction next month. Any advice on anything to check or look at before our final walkthrough? Okay, here's a good one. When you walk through with a new home, take photos. Take photos of everything. Tick, 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 tick. You know, if you see something, a paint chip, if you see something like a door that does, take your time during the whole thing. I would probably recommend, and a lot of people, like new home builders, don't like for you to bring your agent, or they don't want you to bring an inspector, anyone else. It's probably just going to be you guys. But I'd say the day after you close, I'd bring in an inspector myself just to verify it's good. A lot of people might be saying, oh, it's a waste of money. But the truth is, like, an inspector that you bring in works for you. And so third-party inspectors can do infrared checking on the walls to see if there's any moisture or whatnot. And I really like that. They can also check out drainage. A lot of people have been complaining also that the backyard yards, because remember right now we're kind of like, you know, there's not a lot of water happening in the Sacramento area. So as far as the drainage, as far as all that stuff, it's not something that you can check that much. The other thing too is checking the AC in a lot of the new builds isn't possible because it's so cold right now. So I would say that bring in a third-party inspector. I use Pillar to Post. They're amazing. They do infrared checking. They do also air purification testing, and they fly drones over roofs and all that stuff. But something peace of mind, something that works for you and not the builder, that's definitely what I would do. But if that's not the road you want to go, I get it, added expense. What I would probably end up doing is just bring your camera and just take photos of everything. Boom, 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 boom. Once you're done, send an email to the builder with these photos. One of the things I have been noticing, a lot of people have been getting into kind of problems because a lot of the stuff is talky and not a lot of written down on the emails. So when you're dealing with a builder, they're going to tell you this and that and the other thing. A lot of stuff can be lost in translation. So what I will tell you straight up is that when you're working with a builder, keep an email trail of everything you're doing. If you talk to them over the phone, if you have a verbal, write up an email, say, blah, 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 hey, we talked about this. I just want to make sure that this is this and we're both on the same page. Make sure everything is done with photos, with emails, so you can kind of go back and have the paper trail of that. Because right now what I've seen is a lot of people are getting a little bit confused about like what they've said, what they've overpromised, what all that stuff. So having a paper trail is going to save you a whole lot of heartache. And you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, they told me that, you know, the price is going to be this. Get that stuff on an email chain at the very, very least. If you're at the place, have them print something out for you, but keep a paper trail on everything. You know, a lot of the people who are working at the new home sales offices deal with so many people that it's hard for them to kind of keep track of stuff. Make sure you do, because at the end of the day, they could forget if they've got 20 people after them during that day. So just make sure. Oh, hey, guys, before I forget, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Let's do Hulk real quick. Hulk angry, like video. All right. Contact a user. Yeah, absolutely. We are here for you. And I got people in every single area that would be more than happy to work with you. I'll work with you. We'll go out. We'll grab lunch. All right. You're not. Thank you. I'm going to be doing some cool content in a new crib as well. Like I said, I want to do some more stuff that's integrating more people who've moved in and just blown it up. So I cannot wait for this new content. I cannot, our new location and everything too. So if you guys are someone who moved into the area, you might have a business, you might be thinking about it, please reach out to me. I'd love to have you on this new kind of platform show that I'm planning on doing it. All right, Jeff, new build due to move in June. What are your thoughts on buying upgraded flooring on new build versus do it yourself for someone who's moderately handy? okay, so I would say flooring for the most part. I think you can get good flooring, honestly, for about maybe $3 a square foot. Okay, so $3 a square foot for good flooring. Never do, water resistant, always do waterproof. That's another thing too. There's two types of flooring too, especially if you're getting anything. Tile's a little bit different. Tile's kind of cool though, because if you chip a tile, you can replace it. The flooring tends to be kind of like together. I'm going myself with luxury vinyl. And I made sure it's waterproof and not water resistant, because what you can end up having is a floating floor. I would say that the install on flooring probably is going to run you between $3 and $5 a square foot. And the flooring itself is probably going to cost you $3. So I'd say it's an easy calculation to see if it's worth it or not. For you to do it, I would say you can go for it. You know, I mean, I would say though, for me, I'm moderately handy and I'm not even touching that, because I know my buddy Garrett, who's a realtor on our team as well, who is telling me, oh yeah, you should totally do your own flooring. It's great. I'm doing my own flooring. Literally, he told me that about 2 weeks ago. So I called him about 3 days ago and he's like, hey, I'm like, oh my God, tell me about the flooring. Was it easy to do? He's like, yeah, not really. I'm kind of stuck halfway through my flooring. I probably am going to call someone to do my flooring for me. So just be really, really careful. The other thing too is people don't realize that whether it's a new home, whether whatever, like you need to sand everything down. You don't know what's underneath some of the carpets and the resales, but also for some of the homes, everyone assumes that it's flat. A lot of times it's not. So you got to sand stuff down or your floors turn out a little wonky. So for me, I'm going professional, because the last thing I want to do is spend like, let's say like $6,000 on all the flooring and then put it in myself. And then all of a sudden it looks, it looks bad, and then have someone come in who can maybe fix it, and it just never looks the way I want it to. So for me, I think you should do something right, because at the end of the day, like, let's say you do it and it's kind of like done okay, it's going to hurt your resale because people are going to see jacked flooring straight up. So I would say pay a little extra to the builder, find out what that looks like. I would say if you can get the builder to put in the flooring, all that stuff, for maybe $5, under $5 a square foot, I think you're probably in good shape. All right. Mark, I'll actually be in SAC on Sunday. Would love to grab lunch. If you're available, I'll give you a call tomorrow. Ah, Nicholas, absolutely. I like lunch. Lunch works for me, so we can definitely do that. And yeah, duplexes, like, what you're going to find is duplexes go really, really quick. So I would say for you, the biggest thing that I could tell you is to know what you're looking for. And a lot of my investors that come up have spreadsheets. They know their numbers. So try to figure out exactly, you know, what you're looking for, what formula you're working with. A lot of the investors have their investor calculators and all the spreadsheets, and they know exactly what works, what doesn't, what like the price has to be and all this kind of stuff. So just, if you need help with that, let me know ahead of time before you come up. But yeah, definitely give me a call Sunday. Like I said, I'll be showing houses tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I'm showing houses almost every single day. We are having an amazing amount of activity on our team. Oh, there we go. Loan officer. All right. Yeah, you don't even need me to say that. Good. But for our team specifically, we're having an immense amount of traffic of people that have basically told us straight up that we're waiting for spring to come in. So for us, we're just, it's nuts right now. So I would say, you guys, if you guys are looking to buy, if you're looking to sell, I'd say, you know, the seller's market is probably going to continue for a while considering inventory is really, really light. I would say if you're looking to buy, the biggest tip I could give you is start looking sooner than later. Even if you're not ready right now, even if you say we want to buy in the summertime, I would say there's nothing wrong with starting to look now and kind of feeling out the market. You always want to feel how the water is before you jump in. Well, maybe not, but in this case, you probably do. So I'd say kind of feel what's out there, see the inventory cycles. You're going to be able to tell how inventory is doing for the most part, because you're going to see on Zillow, for example, if you type in like Gold River, you're going to see maybe like how many houses are around now. And I would just say rinse and repeat that over and over until you kind of feel that maybe the inventory is coming back a little bit, or it's at least doable for you and what you're looking to get. I would say know what you're looking for in this market. I would say for a person who's out here and they don't know what they're looking for, but they want a house, I think that that's a bad position to be in. No schools, no areas, no bedrooms, no bathrooms, no single stories, no if you want a pool, no if you want a spa, all that kind of stuff. The more specific you are, the more you're going to be able to go full throttle when you absolutely find the house you absolutely love. Like I did, guys, you know, like I said, like I knew what I wanted. I saw it. I wanted it. And I knew that if I got it, that would work for my family. And I made it happen. I wasn't on the fence. I'm not indecisive about anything. So I knew exactly what I wanted, what I was going to pay, and I made it happen. And there's no magic formula, and it didn't work for me just because I'm a realtor. But if you follow a little bit of the guides I set out by knowing exactly what you want, where your line is as far as what you're willing to pay, and you can make it happen. You know, there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, seeing a house and putting it all out there. This is the market that whoever wants it bad enough is going to get it. And, you know, I wish it wasn't that type of a market. I wish it was a little bit more balanced, because I think right now, like I said before, I think Sacramento, we are very affordable for a lot of people moving in and around Sacramento and other areas maybe 2 years ago. And I think our affordability right now in Sacramento is becoming a little bit of an endangered species. And I don't like seeing that, because I do think that one of the things I love the most was working with first time home buyers who maybe thought that they couldn't buy a house, and then they got a house. And I don't know, that really, really, really made me happy. So hopefully we see a little bit more of that in 2022, although I doubt it at this point. Like I said, guys, I don't see prices going anywhere. I don't see, you know, interest rates going anywhere but up. Inventory is going to be super low. So I don't know. I will be here, though, next Wednesday to update you. And if something crazy happens, something miraculous happens, and we have more inventory on the market, or rates hit start going down, you'll hear it right here, right now. And I'll let you guys know how the wet water and how the temperature is in Sacramento if you're looking to buy or sell. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me this amazing Wednesday. Remember, like, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff. And remember, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Guess what, guys? The video just ended. But don't worry, we have more videos just like that one right over there. And if you missed that red subscribe button during the course of the video, we got you covered right there. Hit that subscribe button. We promise to bring you some amazing content. We won't let you down. Now, if you're looking for a team in the Sacramento metro area to work with, we'd love to talk to you one-on-one. We always include a Zoom link down below. So book a time where we can talk to you a little one-on-one, find out exactly